Welcome to our latest episode of EVA India Insights podcast. I'm your host, Pallavi, and in this episode, we explore climate change and energy with our distinguished guest, Kapil Bansal. As a seasoned expert in energy transition and decarbonization at EVA India, Kapil has been pioneering sustainable energy strategies for over 21 years. He leads innovative solutions in renewable energy, green hydrogen and biomass to steer hard-to-abate sectors towards a low-carbon future. Thank you for joining us, Kapil, and welcome to our podcast. To start off, could you give us a brief overview of how energy production and consumption have historically contributed to climate change?
Thanks, Pallavi, for asking this question. If you look historically, we have from 18th century to 19th century to 20th century and 21st century, all across the time frame, we have moved from a certain way the humans have moved, but especially on the 20th and 21st century, there has been a continuous transitions of energy that both from a production standpoint of view, consumption has been there. It all started from the solid state of coal to liquid state of oil, and then from liquid state to gaseous now, and then in near future, we are talking about electrons and continuation of gas. So as you see, the transition that has happened, we started as humans from the industrial revolution. So you have to see in energy consumption from industrial revolution that has always happened from industrial revolution one to now what we call as industrial revolution fourth generation. Every time there has been a certain transition. So initial industrial revolutions came with the higher consumption of coal, and coal was used in industries and thermal, and it still continues if you look at while other sources of fuels have got added. So after coal, then we got the crude oil, which came, and the whole mobility sector boomed. And that's where you had the Industrial Revolution too. Then came the whole third revolution, where natural gas came from the shale gas discoveries, and along with crude, there is a lot of gases has come. And then now we are looking for a complete transitions towards electron, and that's Industrial Revolution 4 and 5. Every time there has been a continuous increase in energy consumption, and this energy consumption have led to a huge amount of CO2 increase. So year on year, we have added roughly around on weighted average basis, 20 to 25 gigatons of CO2 as you consumed. But in last few years, it has reached almost a tipping point of 35 to 36 gigatons. And we have a certain budget to which the environment can take the CO2 concentration to a level at which after that, the continuous temperature increase are being observed. And this is what we call it as greenhouse gases effect. CO2 being one of the major contributors. Others are methane and other gases like NOx, SOx, etc. For every one ton of CO2 that has been emitted, there is a certain amount that gets accumulated in our atmosphere, which impacts the overall climate change. So historically till now, we have seen we have added almost from 20 ppm of CO2 to almost 400 ppm of CO2. And as it progresses ahead, the temperature will increase. We have already started touching delta increase of 1.5 degree temperature increase. So out of 365 days last year, we have observed 20 days in which and delta increase of 1.5 degrees have been observed. A very recent incident which happened last week, where Dubai has received almost 2 years of rainfall in a single day. So these climate change are a direct correlation to the amount of energy that has been produced and then subsequently consumed in the different forms of conventional fuels like coal, crude oil and its derivatives, your gases, natural gas, which is nothing but methane, and the new forms of gases that have been output of, your crude processing like LPG, propane, butane, etc. So put together, they have an adverse impact on the climate change that we are observing now.
Thank you, Rahul. Now, adding to the previous question, according to you, what are the key changes needed in the energy sector to effectively mitigate these impacts on the climate change?
I think that's a very beautiful question. And a lot of the people are talking about, you know, different terms like energy transition, twin transitions, or just transition. What does that mean is, towards the energy consumption, you know, we as humans have continuously evolving ourselves. So in order for us to continue our industrial growth, we would still need energy as an important vector. But then that energy needs to be transitioned from conventional fuels to a more renewable sources, like what nature has taught us, which is, you know, looking at solar. Solar sun is ever glowing from billions of years, and the solar energy can be utilized to fulfill our electricity needs, our needs for fuels for running our plants, as well as it can be used nowadays in the transportation mobility sector. So put together, if you look at, you know, the energy sector that we are dependent upon from coal, natural gas, and crude oil can be transitioned into non-conventional or renewable sources, which is, one is definitely solar. Second is, there is a lot of wind. The wind energy can be utilized in the direct kinetic form to be converted into electricity. The third is, you know, we have been blessed with a lot of water flow, and this water can be used in the form of hydropower. And in ages, we have been using hydropowers for both the purpose of irrigation as well as electricity generation. This is again a clean source. And the final is the nuclear energy and geothermal. They have been evolving. There are different debates around it. But then, you know, nuclear fission and fusion both are been extensively, you know, R&D work has been done, which would be the future of energy fulfillment.
As we transition towards cleaner energy, we would like to know the role of technology. So what roles do renewable energy technologies play, and what challenges do we face in scaling up these technologies?
Right. So there are two parts to it. One is obviously the role of technology, and then what are the challenges that we can foresee now and in near future? So I'll answer the part one. Technologies have two elements to look at. Technologies from the adoption of newer set of technologies that we talked about just now from an energy transition, which is solar, wind, nuclear, geothermal, etc., which are the transition from conventional energy to new energies. So these technologies have over the period of time matured and have brought to a commercial viability. In fact, today solar and wind are cheaper than the conventional thermal power generated from coal or natural gas. So three things that technology plays a role. Number one, technology maturity, along with it, the technology adoption brings the cost decline, which makes it commercial viable. That's part one. Second, technology at scale, because we are talking about transitioning of, you know, gigawatts of or terawatts of energy that has been consumed today to be converted into renewable. Second is the technology at scale that plays an important role for the overall transition that has to happen. And in India, we can definitely see we are doing it at a scale level. The third level of technology play, which is very important, is the technology would not be a singular technology, but it would be multiple technologies working in totality. Then only it will bring the benefits that we will able to see. So that's where towards a cleaner technology, cleaner energy, the transition that has to happen, renewable will play an important role from the overall technological adoption at scale and utilizing all the necessary resources to make it happen. But definitely they don't come without any, you know, challenges. So the first challenge that technology brings is, you know, there's a Murphy law. So every 5 years, things changes significantly. So the previous technology, which has been adopted, gets obsolete. So how do we update the technology without major capital investment that is required? Because we are a developing nation. So one of the challenges that you see is earlier, the wind turbines were at a kilowatt level. Now they are at megawatt level. In future, they would be in multiple, hundreds of megawatt level. So, how do we transition the obsolete technologies with the new technologies with minimal capital investment? That is one challenge that we have to, significantly look into. The second is, as these technologies have different level of efficiencies and what you call as, utilization factor, they compete with the existing technologies of conventional fossil fuels because they are more reliable versus the renewable technologies, which depends upon the sun and the daylight and wind during the night time. So what we need to bring is the faster adoption of multiple technologies, as we talked about, in order to bring reliability. And now we are seeing more and more tenders at utility scale. When I say utility scale, is larger scale being released by central agencies like SECI and NTPC on what we call as renewable round the clock basis or firm and dispatchable renewable energy. So as we see, these technologies have to work in together, not in pure play single technologies, to mitigate the requirement from the conventional basis to bring the reliability factor. So those are the few of the top of the mind challenges that comes to my mind.
Thank you, Sapil, for outlining those challenges. Now, as we pivot towards clean energy initiative, what is the role of governments versus private entities in driving the scheme change towards a low carbon energy sector?
I think government is already playing an important role in terms of creating ease of doing business for promoting renewable energy. They are releasing new policies, as we see with the adoption of solar rooftop policies and other PLI schemes. What is most important is to create a mechanism from what is at the central level being in a standard format to all state level, because then it brings a lot of variations towards what central policies are talking about and what are the different state policies are bringing. So a holistic picture on standardization of the adoption towards renewable should be focused by the central and the state government in totality. The second is all these policies which are come out are to grow this industry significantly. So there is already a pathway laid down by our Honorable Prime Minister to make India least dependent upon fossil fuel. So reducing almost 1 billion tons of carbon dioxide intensity with renewable energy. So for doing that, there is plan to increase the renewable capacity to almost 500 gigawatts. To do 500 gigawatts, the important role of public-private partnership is important, and active participation by private entities towards the government incentives would help to accelerate the overall clean energy initiatives.
Thank you, Kapil. Now, lastly, looking ahead, what milestone should we aim as a country in the next decade to ensure that we are on track and aligned to meet our international climate goals?
I think I'll put it into, start, continue, stop kind of activities for the next decade. So definitely from an international goal perspective, in 2015, we have signed a national determined contribution towards emission reduction, and we are significantly achieving those timelines as well as the reductions that we have promised. So we are ahead of many nations. So we need to continue ensuring that whatever the trajectory of our emission reductions that we have defined, we continue reducing that. Second is, as the technological maturities are happening, we need to adopt not just renewable energies, but different form of technologies that will help in the overall net zero strategy for India, which is where you can look for you know, green hydrogen as a direct fuel because it doesn't have any hydrocarbons or any carbon in it. So more adoption of green hydrogen, biomass and bioenergy and biofuels in various forms. India being an aggregate society can help contribute in terms of reducing our dependency on fossil fuel. And then finally, one of the things that has never been explored to the larger extent is we have such a big coastline. So the tidal wave, tidal energy, the geothermals that are available, we need to, you know, utilize that in a larger format. The way we have adopted the solar and the onshore wind, again, there are, you know, tenders been released for offshore wind, but then the whole aspects of supply chain and the skill set of the people to, you know, build those large scale projects are missing. So we should start building those newer technologies, adoption of those newer technologies, building the skill set. And probably what we need to stop is, you know, looking at the current conventional fuels, how it can be, you know, transitioned or repurposed, you know, because your captive power plants, which are running on coal, can very well be repurposed using biomass as a fuel to generate steam on a continuous basis, while the power can come from the whole renewable. So a whole amount of coal power plants can be very well stopped from polluting and, you know, being dependent on either domestic or imported coal, which is the dirtiest fuel, versus it could be repurposed using biomass and the combination of renewable. So those are the some of the milestone in terms of you know, coming decade where we can stand out, and we have been always having a vintage point to build global associations like what we have created for solar called International Solar Alliance, or for biofuels called Global Biofuel Alliances. So we pioneer in doing that and bring all countries together towards the vision that our country not just think, but they do the walk the talk about whatever they are thinking, executing on the ground. So with that, I would definitely say we are well positioned to continue be the pioneer in our carbon emission reduction focus, as well as ensuring that we live this planet for our future generation the way we have, you know, the way our parents are given to us. So it's, somebody said very well, that we have borrowed this planet from our children, and we have to give them the back the way we received from our parents.
Agreed on that, Kapil. With that, we come to the end of discussion on this episode. Thank you for joining us and sharing your invaluable insights to all our listeners on climate change and energy.
Thank you, Pallavi. Thanks, everyone, for your time.
Thank you. Thank you to all our listeners for joining us on this enlightening journey. And for those who are eager to delve deeper into the world of climate change, climate action and energy transition, I encourage you to visit our website, where we have an array of insightful resources waiting for you. Don't forget to connect with us on our social media channels to keep the conversation going and to stay updated on the latest developments. Until next time, this is Pallavi signing off.